62 is our text, Isaiah 62. Let me read the latter part of verse 11 and all of verse 12. Isaiah 62:11. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Now I'm told by every commentator and every expository writing on the Holy Scriptures that this passage does not refer to the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior to put away our sin. And I agree with them. They all say that this scripture, Isaiah 62 and 63, refers to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come back to the earth the second time, which is called the Day of Vengeance, when he shall come to overthrow his enemies, when he shall come, as he says, in fury and in wrath and in judgment. But had he not come the first time to redeem us by his blood, he could not come the second time to redeem us by his power. Had he not come the first time in passion, he could not come the second time in perfection. Had he not come the first time as the Lamb to redeem, he could not come the second time as the judge to execute that which he purchased. So I mean to use this passage tonight, placing it in the light of its first fulfillment, the passion of our Lord, the sufferings of our Savior. I believe that if you take a good, hard look at this scripture with other scriptures, you're going to see that it does picture salvation in its clearest terms, a good, hard look at salvation. Now, the first thing I see in this about salvation is this. Salvation is from without. The scripture says, behold, thy salvation cometh within you and me. There is nothing that can save. Within you and me, there is nothing that can redeem. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I am carnal, I am sold unto sin. Out of death, only death can come. Out of evil, only evil can come. Out of bondage, only bondage can come. And out of darkness, only darkness can come. I think sometimes that even believers fail to recognize this. Turn to Isaiah 55. And this is something with which we struggle, and something that needs to be answered for us again and again and again, because we learn so slowly. I think some of us who do not look within for salvation after we're saved begin to look within for acceptance. Paul accused the Galatians of that. He said, have you begun in the spirit and now you're perfected in the flesh? Have you begun building upon Christ and now the building itself is of your own making? I think sometimes even we who have looked to Christ alone for our wisdom and salvation, after we're saved, begin to look within ourselves for our wisdom and our direction. And that's dangerous. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 7. Listen to this. Let the wicked forsake his way. And that's not only talking about my way of salvation, that's talking about my way of walking and my way of wisdom and my way of solving difficulties. Let him forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. How many times do we say this every day? Well, I'll tell you what I think. I'll tell you what I think. And read on. And let him return unto the Lord. Keep on returning. Keep on looking. And God will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that goes for right now as well as the beginning of faith. I wonder how many times you and I do this regarding matters of difficulty, matters of trial. This thing begins with faith. When we're out in the darkness, we want Christ to reveal to us the light. When we're in the dunghill of corruption and evil, we want Christ to lift us and wash us and put our feet in paths of holiness. When we're outside the kingdom of God, we want him to come and search for the lost sheep and find it and put it on his shoulder and bring it home. But after we've been brought home, after we've been lifted, after we've been cleansed, after we've been made holy, how many times do we sit down and bow our heads in our hands and say, Lord, I'm a fool. Teach me. Lord, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. And there's a way that seemeth right to the natural man. Seems like wisdom. Seems like good judgment. But Lord, am I trusting my judgment or yours? Am I trusting my wisdom of yours? What would you have me do? Give me a word. Give me thy Holy Spirit to direct me and to guide me. When our Lord Jesus Christ left the earth and left his disciples, he sat them down. After 3.5 years of concentrated study and example and pattern, he still said this to them, I have many things to say to you. You are not able to bear them. You are not mature enough. You are not strong enough. You are not believing enough. Howbeit, when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will direct you. He will guide you into all truth. Brethren, our salvation is from without. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Our wisdom is from without. Our righteousness is from without. Our acceptance is from without. There's nothing from within. Look within, and all you'll see is foolishness, evil, darkness, and sin. And that's all I see right now. I not only saw that at the beginning of this journey, that's all I see right now. And left to myself, there's not a more foolish person in this world. But with Christ as my wisdom, I can do all things. If I can find his will, if I can find his leadership, I will have infallible judgment. If I can find his wisdom, I will have infallible directions. His wisdom, his will, his judgment. Are you seeking it? Do we seek our own or his will? Do we seek our own way or his way? Now that's got to be determined first. And it comes from without. It doesn't come from within. When Paul was talking about in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, he meant right now. In the flesh no man can please God, he meant right now. O wretched man that I am, he meant right now. Who wants to be led by a wretched man? In Romans chapter 9, verse 16, listen to it. So then, it is not of him that willeth, it is not of him that runneth, it is of God that showeth mercy. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Thy salvation cometh. Turn back to Isaiah 62. This salvation we're talking about, and I'm talking about this salvation from sin, and this salvation from trial, and this salvation from error, unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Left to myself, I'll fall. Unto him who is able to, he that hath begun a good work in you shall perfect it. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. It's from without. Thy salvation. Look at it. Behold, thy salvation cometh. David said, listen to David. O Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It's not my salvation. It's God's salvation. What I possess is not my salvation. It's God's salvation. What I have is not my deliverance. It's God's deliverance. The Scripture says the wages of sin is death. That's my work. But the gift of God is eternal life. That's God's work. You see what I'm saying? Thy salvation cometh. It comes from God. It comes from God himself to the sinner. But what a blessing to know that when there's no power in me and there's no strength in me, there is power sufficient and there is grace sufficient in him. And what a blessing to know that when there's no power and life in me, that God delights in that day to show grace and mercy and makes the dead to live, that he might get all the glory. I'm not building anything for God. If there's anything being built, it's God who's building it for his glory. Now, he may use us with a sword, and he may use us with a trowel. He may use us in the basement to dig. He may use us out in the public to put the steeple up. But the building is built by God. It's all from without. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. I want you to look at this scripture, and it's one which I have marked very strongly in my Bible. I have it marked very plainly. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6, and over again I tell myself, this is so, I believe it. The Lord killeth. The Lord maketh alive. The Lord bringeth down to the grave. The Lord bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor. The Lord maketh rich. The Lord bringeth low. The Lord lifteth up. The Lord raiseth up the poor out of the dust. The Lord lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon it. What am I preaching? Salvation is of the Lord. Alpha to Omega, beginning to the end. And I'm not fixed up with an experience back in the past. I'm not fixed up with a decision and a profession back in the past. I am his workmanship day by day. My salvation continually cometh and cometh and cometh and cometh. All right, the second thing I note here about this salvation, taking a good hard look at it. Behold, say to the people, thy salvation cometh. Thy salvation cometh. And behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. This salvation not only is from without, but secondly, it is only through a person. His work and his reward. The great salvation which we have to proclaim to sinners is a salvation in the person and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold him. Behold his reward and behold his work. Behold him, the covenant surety. Behold him in ages past as the federal head. He is given by the Father a people, and he assumes by his grace full responsibility for the ultimate deliverance of those people given to him. Behold him in human flesh. The songwriter put it this way: born among cattle, in poverty sore, living in meekness by Galilee's shore, identified with the lowest, with the vilest, and with the weakest, tested and tried in all points, despised of men, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. There is not a sinner on this earth that cannot be personally identified with Jesus Christ, because no human being has ever been lower than Christ Jesus in his human nature, which he assumed in order to be identified with the lowest. He was tried in every point. Behold him on the cross, bearing our sins in his body. Behold him on the cross, under the wrath of God, bearing our iniquities. Behold him on the cross, taking the guilt and the shame of every believer, pressing his soul down to hell, crying, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Behold his person. Behold his reward. Behold his work. Behold him risen and seated at the right hand of the Father, the victory won, the enemy defeated, the great high priest secured, and a perfect acceptance for every believer. He broke the power of counsel sin. He set the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avail for me. Salvation from without, and salvation in a person and through his work. Now the third thing, quickly. He says, "Behold, thy salvation cometh." Behold, his reward is with him and his work before it. And they shall call them the holy people. Now my friends, this salvation that is from without, and this salvation, redemption, that is in a person and through his work, is a salvation that leads to holiness and righteousness. I'm not talking about a mock holiness. I'm not talking about a false professed righteousness. I'm talking about a genuine holiness. And I'm talking about a genuine righteousness. If we are to be saved, we are to be sanctified. This is not only the goal of salvation, it is the essence of salvation. Jesus Christ, our Lord, not only saves his people from the penalty of sin, and many would like to rejoice in that, and that only. He saves me from hell. He saves me from sin's penalty. He saves me from sin's consequence. I rejoice. I'm not going to hell to pay for my sin. For me, there is no judgment. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But he also saves us from the practice of sin. A work that has as its goal to make us like Christ will reveal increasingly, year by year, a foretaste of that final product. You see a young boy sitting at a desk. He's got a desk here in his room. And his dad has bought him a model airplane, or just bought him a box from the store. It's a model airplane, but the dad bought it and brought it to him and put it on the desk, and the boy begins to work on it. The mother hadn't seen what the father brought him. The mother back in the kitchen working, see the boy works for an hour or two, and then she slips in the room. And she says, "Oh, you're making a model airplane." How does she know? Well, what he was making looked like an airplane. You see what I'm saying? If a project has as its final goal holiness, as God works and builds that project, it's going to take on the appearance of what the final product will be. Now that's so. That's so. A man tells me that God's going to make him like Christ, and he's been saved 20, 25 years, and he doesn't begin to act like Christ. He doesn't begin to walk like Christ. He doesn't begin to love like Christ. He doesn't begin to forgive like Christ. I say to him, God's not making anything out of you. You are not His workmanship. You're not His workmanship. Now that boy is sitting in there and he begins putting those things together, and somebody comes in and says, oh, what are you making? Well, he's just making a mess. He's not making anything. But if the final goal of that project is going to be an airplane, it begins to look like one. And the longer he works on it, the more it looks like an airplane. And my friends, I'm saying to you, and I say it as positively as I can say it, God is my witness, I believe it. If you're not beginning to look like Christ, after all these years of God's, as you say, working in your heart and in your life, if you're not growing in humility, and you're not growing in love, and you're not growing in grace, and you're not growing in mercy, and you're not growing in patience, and you're not beginning to look like the final prophet, that airplane that boy's working on is going to have some wings after a while. It's going to have a stabilizer. It's going to have a fuselage. It's going to have a propeller. And the longer he works on it, the more it looks like it. And the Word of God tells us plainly, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. None of His. And they shall call them. Doesn't say the Lord shall call them. Says folks that know them shall call them a holy people. It's not what I say about myself. I'm a holy people. That doesn't mount to a hill of beans. It's what others say about it. And they shall call them a holy people. Are we His workmanship? John said, he that loveth not his brother knoweth not God. The Lord Jesus said, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you love one another. If we're not beginning to look like the finished product, at least bearing some resemblance, at least giving some indication of what the great potter is making of the clay. He doesn't just take the clay and gob it up here in a lump, and then suddenly, 30 years later, it takes on a form. He puts it on the wheel, and he begins to turn it. It doesn't look like much at first, but after he's had it a while in his hand, it begins to look more like what it's going to be. And he keeps on turning it, and after a while, it looks a whole lot like it's going to be. And then when he gets through with it, it looks like it's going to be what he set out to make it. And I'm saying that we need to examine ourselves. We need to search our hearts. We need to look and see, what is God doing? Is God doing anything? Is God doing anything? This is a salvation unto holiness. Now the fourth thing. It is a salvation by redemption. And they shall call them the holy people, and they shall call them the redeemed of the Lord. I read something by Spurgeon here and jotted it down. I want to pass it on to you. In the Holy Scriptures, there is no salvation for men except by redemption. By redemption. We have enslaved ourselves. We have sold our souls. We are in absolute debt to the law and cannot pay. We are prisoners of God's justice. Therefore, we must be ransomed. Somebody's got to pay the ransom. Behold, our Redeemer paid the ransom. Our Redeemer poured out His life. Our Redeemer shed His blood that we may be freed. Redemption by substitution. That's the ransom price. Redemption by the shedding of His blood. That's the ransom price. Redemption by the sacrifice of Himself. That's the ransom price. This is the redemption price that will satisfy God's justice, that will speak peace to my conscience. And it comes to me from Christ, absolutely free. But it costs Him Himself. He said, fear not, I have redeemed thee. The prophet said, I've found the ransom. And again he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. In the fifth place, it is a salvation by redemption. And in the fifth place, it is a salvation that is complete. And thou shalt be called. Turn to Romans chapter 8. In the 8th chapter of Romans, and thou shalt be called. My friends, you didn't begin the work. God did. And you're not going to complete the work. God is. You shall be called. And when you're called, you'll call on Him. You shall be sought. And when you're sought, you'll seek Him. You shall be loved. And when you're loved, you'll love Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God. He loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. You shall be found. And when you are, you'll find Him. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, foreordain, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what the potter's making of the clay. He's making everybody whom He saves just like His Son, that His Son might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He called. And whom He called, them He justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Yes, I called on Him because He called me. Yes, I sought Him. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. And I sought Him. You shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I searched for Him. But I searched for Him because He searched for me. And I love Him. Peter said, Lord, You know all things. You know I love You. But I love Him because He first loved me. And I found Him. I don't think it's violating the gospel at all to say that I found the Lord. I know some men criticize that heavily. They criticize when we say seek the Lord. But Scripture commands us to seek the Lord. The Bible doesn't say a man can't seek the Lord. It says he won't seek the Lord. He commands us to seek Him. And I sought Him. And I know I sought Him because He sought me. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the foes of God, and He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. He sought me, and I sought Him. And He found me, and I can say, I've found the Lord. I found the Lord. He shall not fail. Turn to John chapter 10, verse 14. In the 10th chapter of John, verse 14, Christ Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, and them also I must bring, and they shall be called. Hold that place there and look at the text again. In Isaiah 62, He says, Thy salvation cometh, His reward is with Him. Thou shalt call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called. And He says here in John chapter 10, verse 16, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And they shall be one fold and one shepherd. I love the shalls and the wills of God's Word. He shall not fail. Dear dying Lamb, Thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Now the last point, a hard look at salvation. This salvation is not from within, it's from without. It's a gift of God. This deliverance is the gift of God. This work is the work of God. We are God's building. We are God's holy temple. And every stone that's laid in that temple is laid there by the Lord. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's a salvation from without. And it's a salvation in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of His work. And it's a salvation unto holiness. And I want to be understood as clearly as I can make myself understood. I'm not talking about this phony, professed, outward show of righteousness and holiness that's an abomination not only to men, but to God Almighty. I'm talking about an inward holiness. I'm talking about an inward attitude of righteousness. I'm talking about the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. I'm talking about that holiness that is within, that holiness that grows through the knowledge of the Word of God, that holiness and righteousness that is based upon a relationship with a person. And that person can be seen in us, and that person can be seen working through us, and that person can be seen and heard speaking through us. And that person's glory is our goal and our motive. That person's glory, not our own praise, not our own credit, not our own glory, His glory. It's an unselfish holiness. Unselfish holiness. And that salvation shall not fail. They shall be called. They shall be sought out. Sought out. The Lord has a sheep. Who they are, I don't have the faintest idea. I know the marks of His sheep. He said there are two marks of the sheep. They'll hear My voice and they'll follow Me. And they'll keep on hearing My voice and they'll keep on following Me. There may be those who profess to hear Him and start to follow Him, and they may last 20, 25 years, and then they leave. And John said they left because they never were of us. Christ said, My sheep have two brands on them. They have the brand on the ear and the brand on the foot. They hear Me and they follow Me. And another shepherd they will not follow. They'll follow Me. And they'll keep on following Me and keep on following Me. And keep on following Me. Because they don't have any way to go back. They've burned their bridges. They've sold out. They bankrupted themselves to purchase that one pearl. And that one pearl is their treasure. They'll follow Me. And I'll give them eternal life. They'll hear My voice. And they'll keep on hearing it. And they'll follow Me. And this is an eternal salvation. The sixth place, it's a salvation that's eternal. It's a city not forsaken. Not forsaken. My friend, you'll never be forsaken by the God of grace, and you'll never be forsaken by the grace of God. I remember that. And there's not a trial, there's not a burden, there's not a dark valley, there's not a difficulty, there's not a misunderstanding through which you cannot go and which you cannot endure when you remember those two things. You'll never be forsaken by the God of grace. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. That soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. God will never leave me alone. The heavens sometimes may appear to be brass, but He'll never leave me alone. I'll go with you, He said. Cast your cares on Me. I care for you. Lo, I'm with you always, always, even to the end of the earth. I'll never be forsaken by the God of grace. David said, My mother and my father may forsake me, but God will never forsake me. No way. The Lord Jesus Christ cried on Calvary, My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me that I might never cry that? Never. Never.
And you remember this. You'll not only never be forsaken by the God of grace, but you'll never be forsaken by the grace of God. I don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. I know it gave him a lot of discomfort. I know it gave him a lot of trouble. But God reassured Paul and said to him, "My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient." A city not forsaken, never forsaken. Never. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank thee for this clear revelation of that glorious redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. All the way through thy word, we see this clear path. We see this definite direction. Salvation of the Lord in Christ to make us holy. A salvation that will be completed and never forsaken until we all come in the perfect image of the firstborn, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to be able to say in our hearts with thy servant, "I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." In his name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Brother Ronnie, come and announce the number for us, please.